You look so nice.
Thank you.
And I mean, and like you didn't, it feels like you didn't match the energy. I was.
Hi, welcome to Smosh Mouth. I'm Shane.
Ladies and gentlemen. I'm Amanda.
It's all together. It's like an amazing look.
Thank you, Hank Green. Guys, this is Hank Green, my new favorite person, and finally called out what is. Happens every episode.
Yeah.
Because I always look so good. And Shane looks like he crawled out of a gutter.
He looks like, it looks like I'm not, maybe it's intentional. Just like the.
Here's the thing. Yeah.
We're so happy to have Hank here today.
You could clean a little up around the neck.
Yeah. I actually agree on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shane just wishes we could all be in like denim jeans and white t-shirts, and I was like, it doesn't work for ladies. It's just it would look so weird. They'd be like, are you from the 80s?
Yeah,
cleaning a car?
Are you in a band where you all wear an outfit?
Hey. Yeah, Grease Lightning Smosh.
We're all in the 80s in a rock band. Well, this show has already started. This is how we're beginning this episode.
Yeah, I love
Thank you for starting off with a roast. I'm used to it. That's what we do around here. It's good to see you too.
More of a compliment than a roast.
Yeah, a compliment for you.
Yeah.
You only heard one part of that.
Correct. I filtered.
I had no idea how this episode was going to go, but I'm happy for the energy.
It's perfect.
You're bringing. Glad to have you here. This is your first time at the Smosh Studio.
It is. I was surprised. I was like, look at this large building.
Yeah.
I wish I had large pillarless rooms in my studio. We're always like dodging around like an object.
Well, we're bringing pillars in next week. Okay. We're going to install a bunch.
Which is crazy because like you do so much on your own.
Yeah.
You do so much. You have a TikTok.
I have.
Where you're basically a scientist.
Wow, look at that. You've got a TikTok.
You have a TikTok. Very good.
Did you know about my alt TikTok?
No.
Yeah. I actually don't think I know about your alt.
No, not a lot of people do.
Are you about to tell us?
All right, give
it. No, that's all. You can find it on your own.
Okay, Hank Green has an alt TikTok, which I love. So it's not probably not about science.
It's only got like 6 videos on it. It's where I go when I'm feeling real.
Oh, yes.
Like this one can't go on the main.
Doing TikTok dances. Yeah,
this is really dumb.
We just go there and it's you just being like
No. No, the dances go on the regular one.
Yeah, okay. One.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got your TikTok. You are one of the founders of VidCon. You've started so many companies and things. I know this because I've seen it at Barnes & Noble every time I go. You've also written a book.
Yeah, two.
You've written two.
Fuck you. Wait. I don't know what the rules are.
Yes, you can
no,
swear.
You can say whatever
you can
you
swear
want.
Always okay. at Shane.
Yeah. Oh, is it me?
I like this. I like the new rules. I like to know who's in charge.
Smosh is Shane.
Yeah. Well, I'm not buying your book now.
Wait, okay. You wrote a New York Times bestseller.
They both were, but I don't know. Like, that you made me say it. But,
oh, my God.
Yeah, wow, so Hank. Okay.
An absolutely remarkable thing.
And then there's a sequel. A Beautifully Foolish Endeavor. Yeah.
Wow.
A Beautifully Foolish Endeavor. Oh, okay. I love that.
Yeah.
When did that one come out?
2020, I think.
And when did the other one come out?
2018.
Damn.
Did you always know that you were going to write a sequel?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you were going to write a sequel. You didn't always know you were going to write a book.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first book, basically, I was like, here's the story. I know what the story is. I know how it starts and how it ends. And then I was writing the first book, and then it ended. But it didn't get to the end. Like,
for
the
you.
Book, like, very naturally, like, reached a climax. There was a conclusion. Mm-hmm. But it didn't reach the end of the story. And so I was like, well, I guess this is going to be two books.
How did you know that it reached an end? You just knew.
You
were like,
you read
it's
the book,
time.
You'll be like, that's an end.
You're like, it's time. Yeah. There's nothing worse than having like an end and keep going.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I couldn't do that to people. But then I did because there was a sequel.
I see that is two different things, though.
Yes.
Is that the end of it? Is there going to be another?
It's all done now. I reached the end of the story that I wanted to tell. And I was like, I did it.
And you're good. You don't feel like the pull to write another book?
Okay. Another book, sure, but not with those characters.
Not that world.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's about different characters.
It's about human beings.
Okay.
Living life. No.
Stop. I was like, you're not who I thought you were.
Okay.
Where am I?
You've
60
got
minutes?
It.
No, it's about a young woman who gets famous on the internet because she meets the very first space alien.
That's cool.
So it's more about her like journey of fame than it is about aliens.
My dad and sister would be obsessed with this book.
Yeah, and then but then it like becomes like a big thing. Like every time there's a big new thing in society, what do? We turn it like we figure out what are the two sides going to be so that we can yell at each other about it.
Correct.
And that's, you know, this
love and hate
sort of sucked into the world of punditry and creation and fame and
wow.
And then also the, you know, maybe the world is in danger.
Okay. Because of the aliens or the humans.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Which is it? Or is it both?
It's two sides who are always fighting.
Yeah, well, those two sides, actually, and well, we're not going to get into it.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil too much.
Yeah, yeah.
No, no, I'm gonna
buy it next time I go to Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
He said this so many times.
You just walk past, he's walked past it over and over and over again.
Hank Green.
Because I go to the fantasy sci-fi section, that's where I look for books, and I...
You read sci-fi, and you know me, and you're like, well, there it is, I guess I'll get the new Robin Hobb.
Well, there it is, I'm going to read Annihilation.
God.
No, no, I'm gonna be bummed out for a little bit instead.
Yeah.
I will. I just always notice because, like, you know, I know your brother's also an author, but like I see that and I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
My favorite thing is when people who have dealt with some level of like internet fame read it and they're like, wow, help.
Okay.
Thank you for that because it kind of helps.
Interesting.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well.
That really makes me want to read it. Even
perhaps
you
we
and me
relate.
Are not internet famous.
You are. Yeah. You get recognized.
I do, actually. In the weird... One time I was with my dad at the airport, and I got recognized, and he was like, you know that person? I'm like, no, Dad, I clearly don't. They came up to me and asked for a picture at 6 a.m.
Yeah,
no, I don't.
Usually how people I know talk to me.
Yeah, not at all.
And my son once said that he was six. He said to me, I didn't even know we knew that person.
Oh.
The way some people recognize you sometimes, they treat you as if, like, they've known you for a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
I had a guy once, I was at the gym, and I'm like, I'm in between sets, and I'm sitting there, I have headphones in, I'm kind of looking at my phone, and this guy just walks up, and he just goes, he just holds out his hand.
Put it there,
like,
brother.
Like, hey, man. And I was just like, what?
Congratulations on those muscles.
You
congratulations.
Did. I'm like, oh, you know Smosh? He's like, I don't know Smosh, I don't know anything, just want to shake your hand. I shake a stranger's hand every day. Congratulations. For what? Nothing, dude. That's it.
I think you probably have done some good stuff in your life. And I just wanted you
squat,
to know that
that's
bro. How I feel.
Yeah,
no, I
man.
Want to shake your hand after that. Squat.
Holy shit.
That's crazy.
No, but people will greet you in crazy ways.
We should all do that to each other, maybe.
What?
Just like come up to be just like go to a stranger and be like, I think you're probably doing like a really good job.
I actually would love that. I find myself living in LA, people don't want to make eye contact a lot. When I go back home, people will be like, you look very nice today and I enjoy it. And I'm like, like you said that to me, I was like, it was so refreshing. And then it reminded me like, oh yeah, that's great. That's what human beings should do.
Yeah.
Although some people take it a little too far, but
some people take it a little too far.
Some people take it, they go too hard.
Yeah, I think I would more if I was, I'm just afraid of like creeping people out.
Yeah.
Like strangers, you know, I don't want
to. Shane, if you said that to me, I'd be like, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, but you guys know it. I agree. Either, you never, you, people got different rules, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to be careful.
Yeah, but aliens
the
and
gym,
humans.
Just being like,
hey, put it there.
Yeah.
Boom.
I just wanted to say, I think you're doing good out here. Like, you're working hard.
I guess at the gym that could be nice.
Yeah,
I'll start doing that.
Yeah,
I'm not even gonna get to my workout because I'm gonna shake everyone's hand at the gym.
Yeah, good for you. That'll be good. You
did
that'll
be
good today.
Uh-huh.
That'll be solid.
So Hank Green, you do a lot. You do a lot.
Yeah.
Is there something? What can't you do? I mean, really?
Spanish.
You can't I'd do love, Spanish.
You're not bilingual.
Bienvenidos.
Tú?
No problem.
I would love to speak. I would love to speak another language. I used to play kit drum. Like, I used to play drum set.
Oh, cool.
And
cool.
I can't do that anymore. Like, it literally hurts. Like, my body isn't capable of it.
Yeah.
My wrists start hurting really fast. So I'd like to be able to do that again. I'm like better than you at yo-yo, but like not as good as I'd like to be.
Whoa, Amanda's pretty good. I don't know what you're talking about.
I was never going to yo-yo.
Is there a spin star in the room?
No, I don't believe
Wait, is that the term for being good
at
yo-yo?
No, that's a kind of yo-yo.
Oh, see? Not good at yo-yo over
I
here.
I thought a spin star was like, hey, I'm a spin star myself.
Me too.
Check it out. He just does the rock the cradle. Yeah.
It's a certification that you receive from the Yo-Yo Academy.
Okay, so when do you use yo-yoing in any situation?
No, never.
Okay.
Oh, that's but that you want to get better at it.
But maybe with your son.
Yeah.
So you have a 6-year-old son.
Yeah, and he actually does enjoy yo-yoing, and we yo-yo together.
Okay, well, that's really cool.
He's 7. He just turned 7.
I can't fathom having you as a father. That's got to be so insane.
Sick. It's very normal for him right now.
Right now.
Yeah, no, and he loves YouTube, and he does not really know I'm a YouTuber.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He doesn't know your channel.
He doesn't know because he doesn't watch SciShow. SciShow has like a kid's channel that he watches, and I have been on that. And also, like, the person who hosts it is a friend of ours and has been to our house. And he'll be like, "Where's Squeaks?" Who's like the puppet on the show to Jesse, who hosts the show. And now he gets that it's a puppet, but back when he was littler. And none of the things that I do, like, quite overlap with his stuff yet. But he, like, knows that, like, he knows about subscribers, you know?
Okay.
Because, like, the channels he watches, like, we got 1 million subscribers. He's and, like, at some point he's going to have to find out that I have a channel with, like, 15 million subscribers. And
yeah, you do.
He's going to be like, what?
Dad, can we talk for a second?
Yeah. He wants to, like, he talks about uploading a video. And he's like, if we uploaded a video, maybe we could get subscribers. And I'm like, yeah.
Do you want him to have a YouTube?
I don't. Not. I mean, I'd be happy for him to explore whatever like thing he's excited about when I feel like he's
not
capable
seven.
Of handling it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which.
Right. Which? What age is that?
I don't know. I think it's very dependent. You know.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So wait. Okay. So SciShow, you have a kids like portion on it.
Yeah. There's a SciShow Kids as a separate channel.
That's so cool. That's cool. You're not in it.
But your son knows like you are in charge of that. Or that, that you played a part in creating.
But to him, my job is meetings.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And just knowing science.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's still pretty cool. But, and also currently, all these things you're doing, you are now currently trying stand-up.
Yeah. It's been really fun. And I don't want to do it forever.
Okay.
But I'm happy to be doing it right now.
You're brave for even hopping into it, because I've had people try to tell me to do it. I am scared to death of it.
Well, at one point, so when I was first starting out, I have a friend who is like big in the stand-up scene in Missoula. And I reached out to her and I was like, hey, I wrote this thing that I think I could do on a stage and it would be like stand-up comedy, ? And she was like, and I was like, what would I do? Like, how would I like find some time to do it? And she was like, well, you know, it's a small town. So I could go like the Elks Lodge and do the open mic. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that at all. I definitely don't want to, I feel like I'm cheating to some extent.
Okay.
But I was like, what if we just rented a theater and sold tickets? And, like, so that's how what we did. We rented a theater in Missoula, 100-person seats.
Nice.
100-person seats, 100 seats for people. And we rented it every Monday for 2 months, and I started with 10 minutes, and at the end of it, I had 60, and...
Oh, my God.
Wait, you started with 10? Because that's pretty high. I feel like people usually do, like, 5.
Well, that means...
Or 6.
10 is only 2 fives.
Okay, no.
Okay, I know you're a science whiz.
Come on.
But get off my back. So, okay... God,
it's harder to do tight. It's harder to get tight.
I completely agree with you. It's better to do longer. So, would you ever yo-yo on your stand-up?
You know, I thought about it. I have a yo-yo joke in the show.
Well, we have a yo-yo here.
Do you?
Yeah, it's right here.
Oh, he's inspecting it.
Oh God, is it a spin star?
He's making sure it's of quality.
It's totally gonna work. This is a good enough yo-yo.
Okay.
Okay.
Am I going to yo-yo on the show?
I don't know.
I will describe it for our listeners.
Oh, do
Hank Green is standing.
There's a bunch of cameras.
Yeah, I know, but they're, for anyone on Spotify, there's some good. Oh, he's stalling it there at the bottom.
Hold on.
Yeah, we can't. I can't.
We can't.
I don't want to.
I don't know if the cam can see. Oh, okay.
What? You don't want to hurt anybody.
Oh, he's spinning it around.
Honey, you're hurting us already.
Oh, no, he has lost control of the yo-yo.
Talent.
But I'm not that good.
No, I meant with your talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do it around the world, Ian.
Okay. Okay.
Nope. That was just another.
It just goes.
It just shatters. Probably hasn't been broken in yet.
Oh, it's got it.
Oh,
very
I was gonna
sticky.
Say, are you gonna do board. The triangle?
I was gonna just do the triangle thing, but it's too sticky.
It's too guys. It's
well,
too sticky.
That's...
Maybe I can loosen it a little bit.
Oh, close.
Okay, that was actually pretty good.
Almost rocked the cradle.
Oh, thanks.
Bravo.
Our team had a yo-yo, and I just, we had to.
We had to try. We had to see.
Not that we didn't trust you. Yeah, put it in your pocket. You can keep it.
You can keep it. Yeah, always remember us.
There's a lot of stuff here, so I'm actually not surprised that you're
there. Is way too much stuff. Because this is here on our game stage, and we have like 5 copies of every board game ever made. Please take stuff.
Forever. Okay.
We need to get rid of a bunch of things. We need Marie Kondo to
take
come
stuff.
In here and just
help us. I don't need her. I like to be surrounded by clutter. I want.
Really?
Yes. Oh.
Does that help with stand-up bits? Because I feel like I did stand-up for like 6 months, and I feel like if I had stuff on my desk, I could not think.
Oh,
when
wow.
I was writing my set.
Oh, no, no. I don't exist in a physical spaces most of the time.
Tell me about
that. Okay, what?
let's talk about that.
Okay, what did you say?
After the yo-yo bit, indulge us.
15 minutes in, we realized Hank Green is insane.
I don't know what I mean exactly, but like I don't know that I don't see the things around.
You
don't,
I know
you're
what
not
you're
affected
saying.
By your I don't, immediate space.
I feel like I'm kind of internal, like even right now.
Okay.
I feel like there's a separate little system running that's doing the visual parts. But I'm.
You're a little
We're
tiny
in a bubble.
Guy.
Yeah.
You're a little guy inside of a human robot suit.
Yeah.
I like. Yeah. Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah. Great. And certainly, especially while I'm at a computer or on like then.
So it does not matter if things are piled up. You can still like write.
And my wife will come in and be like, "I'm leaving immediately."
She is me.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool. So when you're writing your stand-up bit, like what gets you inspired to?
It started from writing like my chemo journal. So I had cancer.
Oh yeah, you had cancer. Yeah. Sorry that we didn't mention that at the top. I guess that is a thing that happened to you that you accomplished.
Well, I don't know. People
did
things,
accomplish you?
And at the moment I'm in remission.
Congratulations!
Congratulations!
And so you know, it's really a good idea anytime you're dealing with significant anything in your life to be journaling. And so I was journaling just to keep track of symptoms, but also to like deal with stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was like there were times when I like make a joke to myself. And then I was watching a lot of stand-up because it was like the only thing my brain could latch onto. Because
you're
so stupid when you're on chemo.
Oh, really?
I couldn't watch a movie because I'd like forget the beginning by the end.
Oh, that's so frustrating.
Yeah. I was doing that. And but like the thought process I went through, I can't really remember it. Because at some point I must have emailed Sarah, and I guess I could look back and see and been like, how would I do stand up?
Yeah.
So you're going through chemotherapy, and then in that you were like, I'm going to write a whole stand up set.
Well, I started to write jokes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was worried that being funny is important to me. Being
Agreed.
Entertaining is important to me. Mm-hmm. And I was worried that like, that's very, it's like hard. It's like cognitively one of the complicated things that people do. And I was worried that I'd like lose it.
Oh.
Because I would, because like, you know, you get a lot of brain fog. And
you wanted to preserve it.
And I also think that it's like a really, it's like a good way to keep your brain activated during the hard time. So.
Yeah.
Definitely good to deal with dark times too. Comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I, And then... From the journal jokes, I like wrote a video that I used some of those in the video, and then what I found is if I just like sort of stood up in my office and walked around and said the jokes out loud, then like the jokes would make more jokes happen.
Okay. Yeah. You were kind of like beginning an improvised thought a little bit, and then you just like attach them.
Like, what do you do from like, okay, I have curly hair now. Where do you go with that?
So you have curly hair now?
Yeah.
I remember I saw
look at those curls.
Saw something where you were talking about that on Twitter, and I was a little confused. So wait, you have curly hair now?
Yeah. So chemotherapy.
You shaved your head.
Your hair goes away, and sometimes it comes back different.
Really, really, really curly.
Yeah, oftentimes curly.
Everybody here is nodding. I did not know that fact.
Yeah, I know.
My aunt had breast cancer, and when she shaved her head, she had stick straight hair.
Yeah.
It was just like that. Tiny, beautiful curls. And then her hair was just like curly.
Yeah.
Just completely changed.
How did I not know about this?
Wild.
Yeah.
I didn't know about it either.
Crazy.
Wow.
He's a new person.
What are the chances of it coming back? different.
Really high.
Yeah.
Huh. Like, it usually comes back curly, but sometimes people with curly hair, it comes back straight.
Straight. And then they're like, damn it, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Here's what I know about curly hair is that I think it's, like, better but harder.
It's so much harder.
Yeah.
Because temperature, humidity.
Yeah.
Products.
You got so many products.
The works.
And I have to, like, get it, like, I could just fall out of bed in the morning and be like, foom, foom, and be done. Now I'm like, oh, I have
You're
to
like,
go
this
do
curl
stuff.
Is on it's,
like,
own.
Yeah, sometimes it's, and I, like, I got to get haircuts more often. I got to take showers more often.
Yeah.
But I can't wash my hair as much.
Twice a week.
Yeah.
That's the only, that's the amount of time you can wash
so
hair.
So just heads up.
For curly hair. So are you going to start a curly hair blog on top of all the things?
I am the new Jonathan Van Ness, but for curly hair.
Good morning, bitch. Or what does he say? Good morning, sluts.
Yeah.
Does he say that?
Yeah. That sounds right.
All right. Great.
Damn. Okay. I feel like in this episode.
I don't think that I'm going to be using that particular
Good morning, science sluts.
That's your new catchphrase.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you're a new man after this.
Sup, science slut.
We got him. We got the quote. We got it.
I would be in.
All right.
I will say if a TikTok starts with that, I'm going to watch till the end. On
I don't know. If I got a really good fact sometime, I'm probably going to yank out sup science sluts.
Sup science sluts. Don't eat grass. Don't eat grass.
You should, because I was watching your TikTok and I was like, wow. Like, I was enthralled. I was like, oh, yeah, I want to know that. Nice. I want to know that.
Yeah.
And you have this really fun, like, comedy element, and you kind of get to it. You know how sometimes those videos, you're like, all right, well, do I have to click something to find out the answer here?
Yeah.
Like you know what I mean? You probably hate that too.
Yeah.
So you kind of, you got to it. You were fast. You were witty. You're funny. You're grounded. So I loved your TikTok.
Thanks.
So you can take science sluts.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I've learned a lot from your TikTok. I've learned not to eat grass.
That's important.
No metal in the microwave.
Yeah. But there's metal in the microwave. I watched that too.
Cool? That got a lot of
views. There's metal in the microwave, but then you can't have too much metal.
Yeah. I mean.
Very confusing.
Microwaves are weird. They bounce around. You just don't want them to bounce around and get concentrated in one area.
I don't have a microwave.
That's weird.
Okay. Well.
How do you, does he eat cold food?
Oh, I put it in the oven. I heat it up the olden ways.
That's take a very long time. I'm hungry right now.
No, I heat it up in the olden days.
I actually am a cold food guy. I
like cold food, too.
Oh, man. I'll be eating, like, cold curry, and my wife's like, you cannot.
That's pretty that's intense. Psychotic.
And I'm like, if I heat it up, it'll have too much flavor.
Too much spice?
No, it's not the spice.
Too much
it's
flavor.
The flavor. It's like it gets all aromatic, and I'm like, no, keep stay. I just like, want it to be slimy, slimy and creamy.
Oh my God, you are so science
gruel.
Oh my God,
some Thai gruel.
I hate that.
Damn,
I hate that.
Do you guys have any gruel here?
Yeah,
big fan.
Yeah, some coconut gruel.
So how you know so much stuff? Are you like learning new things every day? Like how do you go about learning new science stuff?
I love learning stuff. You just like go down. You just like let your curiosity. Take you around
down the rabbit hole.
But I also feel like on TikTok, a lot of people are saying wrong shit.
Yeah.
So if your curiosity can take you to the wrong sources,
You have to have some good systems for knowing what is more likely to be accurate.
Yeah.
What you can put more trust in, and when you, I mean, always I like to get more than one, like a piece of information from more than one direction.
Sure.
But there are also times when you're like, oh, like. This is not one of the directions. Like, I cannot trust anything about this. I need to, like, I can use
X-nay
what this person,
that person
said to do some research and figure out, like, what that stat's based on. But, like, you know, there's a lot. It's people will say things and then it will become the thing that the person said. And it's just like, that was just a person who said a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just because they said it at the UN doesn't mean that they were right.
Correct.
My TikTok feed every single day, I get served someone who's just saying a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I don't, you're just saying a thing.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then, and you, we were talking about it before you came on here about the lacrimal sac.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, you got me, man.
Yeah.
I watched your TikTok where a girl was like, where do your eyelashes go when they fall out of your eyelashes? And I was like, yeah. And you had this whole thing about the,
lacrimal sac.
Thank you.
Which is a real thing.
Which is a real thing, but you said all the eyelashes go in there and they're like, they don't want to tell you this, but you got to get surgery to get all those little eyelashes out of there. And I was My stress level was high. And then you're like, and then you're like, I can't believe you believe that. That's not true. And what, they just fall
see
out.
See you later, science slut.
That's a science slut moment.
Yeah.
But I remember being like, damn, he got me.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if you got an authoritative voice, it's like, there's like a certain way of talking even where you're like, that seems right. But also, like, I've told you things that are definitely true before, and so
exactly. Yeah, so, and if the video just stopped there, I probably would have gone around to everyone, which is what I do. And I go, so this thing is true. Crazy enough, you know, this sack right here, filled with eyelashes.
Yeah,
that's what I do. And people will be like, that's not true. And I'm like, don't debunk
and you
me.
And if you put true things around it, you'll be like, because humans aren't actually meant to live much past their sexual maturity. So like, once you're not able to have babies anymore, like, why does your body even take care of itself? So your teeth fall out and your lacrimal sac fills up with eyelashes.
And then a woman is like, oh, God. my teeth are next, doctor.
I promise you there are several people who didn't watch to the
I
end.
I know. That's why I don't like to make that. But kind of content.
But like, I don't know.
But it's so funny.
You gotta know. You gotta be like, you can't trust everything that you see.
No, it's a valid, it's a very valid thing.
To these children.
Do you ever?
And also the grown-ups, too.
Mostly the grown-ups.
The grown-ups have some issues as well.
Do you ever touch on, like, I feel like I went through down a food science path. And food is so hard. Yeah. Like, gluten in general. And I feel like I looked at these sites and I was like, this is true. And I started telling people and they were like, that doesn't make any sense. But I do have a question. If you know anything about food science, are brown rice and whole wheat, are they actually good for you?
Yeah.
You told me the other day, we were in line at
Listen to me.
And I need to eat brown rice, but like, it's just, I don't like it as much. And you're like, it's actually, I heard it might be bad for you. And I was like, what? That's great news. I was like, I have to eat white rice?
I'm actually.
That's also the problem. TikTok will tell you facts that you want to hear.
This wasn't from TikTok. This is from a doctor.
Okay. Well, look, maybe. What kind of doctor? Okay. Was it a doctor on TikTok? Because you can't trust
it. It was
doctors.
A doctor on TikTok who was selling me a probiotic.
Dr. Phil said.
And I bought his probiotic.
So, I mean, look, in general, everything's the same. Like, it's not like there's like, our world is not great at getting us to eat the way that we should.
Okay.
And this is a problem. It is too easy to eat too much because food is too good. Like, that's my big thing.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem is that food tastes really good
it
now.
It does.
It just didn't used to taste this good.
Correct.
Like, I went through, like, we made a video, my wife and I, from my from her grandmother's like recipe book, but it was just like a book with recipes pasted into it.
Oh, yeah.
And we made a bunch of them. And they're so bad. It's like, of course these people were skinny.
Were they Jello?
It was like, one of them was called Mexican Chop Suey, which is just like, I think that's racist. I think it's a problem. You've had Mexican Chop Suey?
I've had Mexican Chop Suey.
Yeah.
Because my Irish grandmother, had like pasted from like magazines.
Yeah.
Like old school, Joy of Cooking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
We made one called Welsh Rabbit. And here's what Welsh rabbit was. It was toast with soup poured on top of it. but not any soup, just a can of soup.
Nightmare.
Where's the rabbit come in?
I looked it up. It was something called rarebit, and that got turned into rabbit by the magic of language. And rarebit was like a bread soup in a place at one point.
So you made this video with your wife.
Yeah, it's very good.
Trying it,
super fun.
Oh, I'm gonna watch.
Lots of like Jello with celery in it, just like awful stuff.
Yeah.
So in general, the brown is fiber, and fiber is really good for you. Like one of the big problems with the American diet is we do not have a lot of fiber in our diets, and that results in a lot of different problems that we can get into if you'd like, but are not pleasant.
Can you do some TikToks on this?
Yeah, maybe. I swear to God, I will eat less of a burrito if it's in a brown wrapper. I just like the fiber. Like if it's a straight white tortilla, I will eat every bit of it because it tastes like delicious, chewy, sweet.
So good.
So perfect.
Yeah, it's so, but like if it's a wheat tortilla, I'm just not going to eat the end, you know?
So this whole time I thought those were just bad for you. So I was like, I shouldn't be eating that.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
Look, the other thing is, it's all pretty much all the same. The problem is the food is so delicious. That's like my big thing. I think the food is just too tasty.
I love that.
Especially, food is too delicious.
Like just, I don't know.
Pancakes?
Sandwiches.
Bread. Oh, I was going to say bread.
Bread is a problem.
Sorry, I went on a food thing.
No,
I kind of needed to ask
But also,
I'm not a nutritionist, so grain of salt, everybody.
But also, Amanda, I also feel like food is too delicious, but also we are bombarded with misinformation so much every day. And I notice there's this trend nowadays where I feel like everyone wants to be the person that provides you with something new.
Yeah.
Everybody on TikTok is like, did you know about this thing? And then I'm like, we don't have to all be the smart person. It's okay to not know things.
Yeah, in terms of like internet content, I feel a little bit like anything that can get views will get made.
Sure. Yeah.
You know? So when you, because you so do
it's
a lot
it's
of
a trick that works.
When
so.
You, yeah, when you do a lot of your TikToks, you usually have someone asking a question and then you answer it.
Yeah.
Is that because you want to know, so you like got that question and then researched it yourself?
Oftentimes, yeah, it really depends on the topic. Like if it's about physics or chemistry, I usually can. You don't need a source to talk about like how gases work. Like I know what the gas law is. Yeah.
Oh so, wow. Okay. Cool.
It's not that complicated. It's just
sounds, yeah, for sure, man.
Sounds like a road I don't want to go down.
It's algebra. You can do it. I promise.
Yeah, you're like my brother. My brother was just so smart. He like took like organic chemistry like as an elective for fun in college. He's just like it just comes to him, but I can't.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about the gas law afterward, and we'll work it out. It'll be fine. It'll be great. It's super interesting.
Do you know? Anyway,
you're a great dad. My God.
Is there a field of science you don't know?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of stuff that, like, what I've gotten good at is getting information and being able to understand a pretty broad body of science, and then being able to get that into an understandable form that is short and captivating.
I feel like that's the clearest
sign. That is like my job.
I think that's the clearest sign of intelligence, though.
Like, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I agree, suddenly.
You're very intelligent.
No, I really think to be able to make something super intelligent stupid is very hard.
Well, I think it's something if you work at it enough, you get better at it.
You get better at, like, the formula of it.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Okay. I have, like, too many questions now.
But,
What?
I'm really interested in this one question that you brought up today before we started.
Yes, you're talking about the imagery.
Yes.
Okay. There was a thing going around on the internet where people are talking about like how do you think, right? What kind of imagery comes up in your head when you think of an apple? Is it a gray and white apple? Is there nothing
full
there?
Color?
Is it full color?
Words.
And I was talking to Amanda about it, and I was like, yeah, I see like not just the imagery, but like a video, like scenes with an apple, and it's moving around and stuff. But I saw on the internet you mentioned like people think in imagery, like or was it? It was John.
It's John.
Damn it,
Shane.
But you brought this up, though. You were like, maybe authors.
This is Hank.
Okay.
Hank has a brother.
I know.
They're identical, right? Are you guys twins?
They're not even twins. I just learned that
before. They're identical twins separated at birth.
I just learned that, too. I thought they were twins, and then I found out.
What?
This entire time.
Okay, Hank Green, side note, Hank
Green
has a brother. He's also a novelist. He wrote Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah,
you guys are not twins.
I actually had a YouTuber, I won't tell you who it was, but a well-known YouTuber who yesterday was like, that's the same John Green as the guy who wrote the book?
Okay, now that's... I don't feel as stupid as them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. So you think imagery. You're like us.
I picture an apple, and it looks like an apple.
It's in color.
It doesn't look like a specific apple I've ever seen before, but it looks like all of those apples averaged together.
Sure. Yeah.
But you can think in color and imagery and stuff.
And my brother can't. He's got nothing.
Nothing.
So he sees nothing.
Nothing. So he just knows about apples, I guess.
When he's you know when you're reading a book and you have the whole scene in your head? That's why when they turn books into movies, you're like, why'd they cast that guy?
Right.
Because in your head, you've already cast him. Not everyone's doing that.
Yeah.
Why?
I know.
Or how?
I don't know. Isn't it wild? We're all ourselves.
I can't handle that. What?
and I hate myself.
So you, first of all, you don't have a twin.
No.
I sincerely.
I have one single brother.
Keanu and Selena.
So your brother.
Like, no, they're.
Your brother was born a second before you.
He was born three years.
Me. Basically a second.
Those are basically twins.
Look, yeah. I mean, it's been a long universe. So if you consider it that way.
In geologic time, actually.
The same moment.
Okay.
Okay, so some people. So you think in imagery like. Yeah. Us.
Okay, so we have nothing to
but
talk
do you
about.
Have do you guys have
this conversation's over.
Do you have inner monologues?
I don't we were saying I don't have like words going
I
on.
Do
I don't
I don't either
yeah
and that kind of makes sense because
we're basically the same.
So if you can work if you don't think about the physical space that you're in while you're working, that makes sense because when I am working, my brain is going like, oh, that coffee cup's right there and that pen's there and I have no room to put my arms and I can't think with all this stuff.
And that voice is going on in your head.
Yes. Mm. It's very hard for me to sit down and read for a long period of time.
And it sounds like you. It's your voice. Or is it like,
she sounds a little
hey,
crunchy.
Look at all this stuff go.
She sounds a little
oh, no,
judgmental.
She's a huge bitch.
She's like, honestly, listen up, bitch. You little fine slut. No, I'm just kidding. She sounds like me, but again, a little cunty.
Yeah, no, I bet it. That sounds not great. I like myself okay, but I don't need myself talking to me all the time,
though. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. You know, underwear drawers are kind of like the Wild West of your wardrobe. There's often a collection of everything in there. You know, Christmas pairs from years ago. You got some certain brands, some other brands, and it gets to be a mixed match. You never know what you're going to get when you reach in there. But MeUndies, man, once you wear those, that's all you're going to want. The designs on them alone,
oh my God,
huge win, but they're also some of the most comfortable underwear, the most comfortable underwear I've ever worn.
And they're so cute. Like, you can do flamingos, avocados, yeah. Palm trees?
I wear my Christmas ones throughout the whole year.
Oh, okay.
I don't care.
Don't confess
I
that.
Don't care. No, I'm a rebel that way.
Guys, get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/SmoshMouth. That's MeUndies.com/SmoshMouth for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Let's get back to the show.
Let's do it.
What do you think in? What do you think?
I will start to
think in words when I'm about to say them or when I'm about to write them down.
But I
but other than that, I just think in like clumps.
Clumps of science?
Ideas like
oh yeah, like
yeah, like every like something like the like fibrous foods is like a clump, like foods that have fiber in them.
So you think of them as like
this,
topics, almost like Venn diagrams vibes.
Yeah. There's like squishy clouds.
Oh, okay. Way better than Venn diagram.
Yeah.
Venn diagram is too rigid.
Yeah.
Oh, squishy clouds. Mm-hmm.
And you can put your face in them.
Did you have clouds like when you were a little baby?
And I touched the
You're
clouds.
Like, clouds, fiber, brown rice. Yeah. Burrito. Yum, yum, yum. Yum,
yum. One time you're thinking the clouds have all gathered like, hey, Hank, we need to talk to you.
Yes, you're very touchy.
We need some space.
That guy's got to stop touching us. Stop touching us.
They're smoking cigs in between your thinking.
There's really a real toucher. We got a real toucher. How do we get out of this man's head?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
He owns us.
I think in scenes. I like literally like when I'm about to go do something like, and it's always mundane things that I overthink, like, oh, I'm about to go to the bank and deposit some checks. I imagine myself going up to the teller and I see the scene, but I imagine all the wrong things happening.
Oh.
And so I don't have voices in my head, but I do imagine other people saying shit to me. And I'm always imagining the worst.
There's a word for that. Isn't
there?
Anxiety. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but there's also another thing. It's like preemptive
anxiety
or like you're worried about what could happen.
Anticipatory anxiety. Yes, anxiety. I absolutely have that.
Oh. Which
I had it
you...
for this episode.
That's so funny. I don't have that at all. I get myself in trouble. I'm chatting.
I love it.
And people are like, that's not how we act. And I'm like, well, I'm from Montana. So.
Wait.
There's only moose where I'm from, so I don't have to worry about it.
Oh, you're from Montana.
I live in Montana, 20 years now.
Yeah. Oh, so you live there right now?
Well, currently I live in a hotel.
How did you get here? One of your clouds?
Yeah. I have lived in Montana since 2000.
That's pretty cool.
Three?
Whoa, when Smosh was created.
Yeah.
You moved to Montana when Smosh got created.
You got it. You had to get out of here.
Yeah. Like, well, I lived in Florida before that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, definitely better.
Yeah.
Were you born on the East Coast?
I was born in Alabama.
Oh, never mind.
Was kind of the East Coast. Yeah.
No, it's not.
And then we moved to Orlando after that.
Okay.
Disney World.
We lived in Disney World.
So you lived in Epcot.
Yeah.
You were in Paris.
In the ball. In the area where the like cavemen have their like hot feet because they haven't invented shoes yet. That's where I grew up.
I don't remember that part.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, so you live in Montana.
Obviously, I went to Epcot a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you didn't.
I did.
I'm just kidding. You did. But so you live in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
How is living in Montana for your, like, I don't know, creative?
It's very good.
Flows is very good. Because nature.
You like nature? Mm-hmm.
Oh. I love nature. No, I am a monster and a chameleon. And when I'm in Los Angeles, I'm surrounded by all of these very, very...
hungry.
Yes.
Little...
ambitious...
gremlins.
Wanties.
Wanties.
Yes.
Wanties.
Wanties. Want.
Wanties. They want things.
Wanties.
They want.
They want.
They're very wanty.
So
thirsty.
If you want something,
the kids today would say thirsty.
Oh,
they're very thirsty.
Very thirsty.
Wanty.
Okay.
They're not needy. They're wanty.
Wanty.
Okay.
They're like.
and then I get here and I'm like, I'm also wanty. I want.
I want that burrito.
I want what that person's doing. I want what to be them. And I. That's also cool. I will also want that.
I will also take that.
Yeah.
The stars.
Yeah.
LA.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. See the billboards? I could have my face on a billboard.
Oh, I understand.
It feeds
your little devil inside. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I need to be in a place where all my friends are like school teachers and farmers.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Because then you're like, I am.
Yeah.
Not I want, I am.
I just am. And I have no ambitions and am never unsatisfied with my life. No, I still want. But I definitely, whenever I go to a big city, I'm like, whoa, there's so much. We could be so much bigger and do so much more.
Uh-huh.
And it's bad. I don't want it.
I understand.
I don't want it.
It's too much. It's too much like a little villain in your head of like, we could take over the world. Mm-hmm. I kind of get it. But... I would say that some people maybe think the opposite of living, because when I'm from Massachusetts, so when I lived in a small town, I felt like I can't, I need.
But the internet now.
Yeah, you're kind of connected. You can't escape, I feel like.
Yeah.
I desire.
And also it's really nice. So like my friends, like most of the friends of my friend group I have had since before YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And like I was married before YouTube, and so it's just like nice to have people who aren't like in the world. And I love my YouTube and internet person friends, and I love hanging out with them. But it is nice to have folks who definitely don't want anything from me,
other than just yes.
I love people who do not want to be famous.
Yeah,
which is
most people once you reach a certain age. Like, I think a lot of kids want to be famous, and then a lot of adults are like, "Oh, yeah, actually, that sounds terrible."
Yeah, they're like, "No, I don't want to be followed around and have no private life ever."
Yeah, there's lots of degrees of famous, but
that's true.
I just don't like. I really don't want to have to like leave my house, you know.
Uh huh.
I relate.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
Yeah,
sounds awesome. And wow. I feel like in Montana, there you have extra motivation because there's bears outside.
No, I mean, I don't want to like get so famous that people like, I need to like
leave
the community
can't.
Or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I do love to leave my house and walk down to the
corner store.
Coffee shop.
Coffee shop?
Yes.
And kind of make it.
Also, the corner store.
Hello,
is also
Hank.
Very nice. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. I feel like I think that people who have grounded community around them and are in this like fame world
mm-hmm.
have more longevity with their career because. You have to humble yourself in some way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think it's just good to see other people trying to do other things and feeling satisfied with that.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
Just be like, oh, wow, you're a teacher.
Yeah.
This is there's your everyday.
There's lots of ways to add value to the world and to feel really good and to like, it's just mm-hmm. lots. And if you're only around people who are doing it one kind of way, then it can feel like if you aren't getting what they're getting, which you never are. Like
never.
Everybody's always getting different things and there's always somebody who's doing it more, making more, whatever. That, it is being around lots of people who are doing lots of different things and adding lots of value to the world.
It also adds value to your creativity.
Yeah.
I love hearing other people's stories on what are their habits, what are their rituals, what do they do every day in mm-hmm. the morning to like, how do they start up a project?
Mm-hmm.
Like for you, like if you're doing a big project, like writing a book, like how do you start up this project? What kind of gears you up?
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like teachers, it's different, but we all kind of have our little human rituals. Mm-hmm. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So wait, so you didn't answer my question.
Oh, what? Did you? Was that actually like...
I'm not sure.
Okay.
no, I don't want to know.
I'm not sure. So like when, what is like the first thought in your mind where you're like, oh, I got to do this thing?
I like creatively.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, usually I'm consuming some other creative work. Oftentimes, so like with longer form things that I create, like books or comedy, I usually am consuming my own content again. So I'm revising, and then I move from revising into creating, which a lot of people don't suggest doing because they're like, you'll just revise forever. But I don't have that problem because I'm not a perfectionist at all. And so I'm just like, I read through what I have written maybe the day before, and then I sort of like tweak it, and then I'm like, and then it just keeps going. And I'm creating, and then it's also very similar when I'm reading, like consuming other people's content. So I'll be reading a book, or I'll be looking at tweets, or I'll be watching YouTube videos, and I'll be like, well, if they had gone this way with that, it would have been a new piece of content that maybe I could make.
Little fluffy pillows, clouds.
Saying you're not a perfectionist, I've never been more jealous of someone in my entire life.
It's great. I saw somebody recently say that like perfectionists are just really good at seeing flaws. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm just really bad at seeing flaws.
Which is great, which is why I think that you are so good at so many things, because you're like, I'm going to do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I'm going to do that.
Seems possible.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like perfectionists, they sit in the place of, like, they've already thought out all the scenarios that could go wrong or go right, and then they're like, it's almost like they did it and failed already.
Right. Or they just are trying to perfect it in their head. And I learned this lesson very early that it worked when I followed this rule, which is if it's in my head, it doesn't exist. You got to convince yourself of that.
If it's in your head, it doesn't exist.
Like if you haven't done it, there's nothing there. So if you're like imagining an idea and you're thinking, okay, well, I can't do it yet unless I have this tool. So I have to get this tool. But then once you have that tool, you're like, but it would be better if I also was able to have this person working on it with me or this extra time that I don't have right now. Just do it. And if it sucks and it fails, like that's a million times more valuable than a thing that's sitting around in your head taking up space. Because it's out. Because it's not in there anymore. Get it out.
Those are the best words of wisdom ever.
If you fail,
ever.
It's like not taking up space in your head anymore. And that's a success on its own.
Damn.
Can you write that
down? Yeah, there's a Zay Frank video about this. It's from 2006.
Really?
It changed my life.
Wait, who's the video of?
Oh, Zay Frank. Do you know who Zay Frank is?
No, I don't.
He ran BuzzFeed Video for a while, but before that, he was like the first video blogger.
Wow. Yeah.
Because I love that, because it's like it just, and then the other projects take up space in your head, and then it all piles, and then you're full, and you're like, what did I even do? What happened? Oh, yeah.
He makes the True Facts About Animals videos.
Wait, that sounds very familiar.
They're like they're very successful and viral
True
videos.
True Facts About Animals.
Like
okay.
Makes jokes about weird animals. It's great.
You have no idea how much that quote like fits into this show, because we talk almost every week about things we want to accomplish and do, and we're always mm-hmm. trying new things.
Yeah, we come on the show and like experiment and have fun and play and just do it rather than thinking about
it. And it's so fun. Like the thing about doing it is it's so fun. And going from zero to one is the best, you know? That first step.
Oh, taking the step, doing it.
Yeah.
And then the worst possible outcome is that it succeeds, and then you have this thing to take care of.
Wait,
are you
I
upset?
Love,
are you then very
that.
Upset that everything you do? I feel like you
well,
had so many
good,
successes.
It looks like everything, but it's not. I just do a lot.
So out of the things that you have done, what's the thing that you are like, oh, this was like my baby. This was like something that I had like some maybe concerns about, or like you're like, this is the one.
Or at the very least, what's a success that you were shocked that it succeeded?
Oh, yeah, VidCon was the thing.
Really?
That was, like, most weird that it succeeded, especially in the way that it did.
Oh yeah, you created VidCon.
Yeah, it's on the list.
when we told
it's on the list. Yeah. Yeah, it's on the list.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And also the one that like was most like awful that it succeeded in a way, where it was like, it went from being like, I'm going to throw a party for my friends, to being like, oh, and like that first year we had like $100,000 on the line, and we had to like sign all these contracts, and we would have gone bankrupt if it hadn't worked, and like it was really scary, but it was like we made like 10 grand and everybody had a really good time, and it was all friends, and it was really small. It was like, you know, it was super, it was so good. And then the second year we did it, it was like, we're just going to make money this year. We don't like, we have an LLC. We're not like, we have like, things are like working. We have people who know what they're doing helping us.
Yeah.
And that was really great. And, but like, as it got bigger, it was like, this is so successful now that like, I'm a public facing CEO making like a lot of decisions that affect people in my business world. They don't always like the decisions that I'm making. And it's very hard for me to justify them because like, it's a human making. I might be making the wrong call. I don't know. It's really hard.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And it got quite influential, and it mattered a lot to people whether they got invited or which stage they were on, etc.
It's a huge thing.
Oh my God, that's a lot.
Amanda, I remember you went to your first one a couple of years ago, and
I did. I was like, stimulation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wanty. I was like, wanty.
Oh, did it make you wanty?
I was wanty.
Yeah.
I was like,
really?
I was like, you guys seen the TikTok room? I was like, it has a theme.
Guys, they're giving out denim jackets.
Yeah. There was like a clothing label. I still have the jacket. They're like, it's free. I was like, what?
I know.
This is a mango colored jacket? Yeah. It was insane. And then I left being like, I have just too much stuff in my bag. Like, and I was like, who have I become?
Yeah.
Who have I become?
Yeah.
So I hear you about Montana and LA. That's like VidCon for me.
Yeah.
If that was all the time, if I could have like all these like brand deals being like, we want you, I think I would combust.
Yeah. You'd be a monster.
I would be a monster.
You'd be a nightmare.
Who would look fantastic. I'd be the cunty voice in my head. Yeah. Like, finally, I will stop talking now.
One thing I know is that success always solves the
always
mental problems.
Always shuts it down. Yeah, right. Then another one pops up and it's like, hello?
Yeah, you really fill up the hole eventually, I promise.
It does get better. You just got to get more followers.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
Yeah,
you just got to reach another 100,000. Mm-hmm. That's all that's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, I remember when I joined Smosh, it was like in the first month, because I joined in the summer of 2015, and then it was like the first month they were going to VidCon. So I went so quickly, and luckily nobody knew who I was.
Yeah.
So I got to go and just observe it at first, which gave me a good like preparation.
That's so cool.
And then it was a very gradual, like...
Nobody knew who I was that first time either, really. I don't think so.
I don't know, unless I walked
with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy now.
Yeah,
that's what's nuts. Is it started off and we could walk the floor, we could go everywhere, and it was so much fun.
That's not like a big company. Nowadays, that's a you thing. Like you're just much bigger than you used to be.
I mean, it's just a Smosh as a whole. Also,
Smosh, yeah,
I feel
yeah.
Like the, you know, the Pit Channel and stuff, and so nowadays we go and we can't like we can't do a lot of stuff we used to be able to do. It's interesting.
It's crazy.
But it's a wild experience. It's huge.
I did have a question for you. Sorry to go back on the science thing, but so you know how like. The brown rice thing feels kind of bleak, you know, all these food things.
I'm so sorry.
No,
anyway, back to brown rice.
But as your like research journey into science and putting it on TikTok, what is like a science discovery that you found that makes you kind of optimistic?
Oh,
because I feel
God,
like there's a
so
lot
much.
Of negative stuff out there, like climate change. Yeah. Everything is just like, uh-oh.
Most things
are
bad.
What's in your food?
Yeah.
Apple says don't charge your phone next to your head anymore.
What?
We were just reading this beforehand.
Oh, did
but
I
then
just
it
blow
no,
up the
Ian
internet?
Pulled it up and it was because it's flammable.
It could cause fires.
Cause fires.
Oh. Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's also bad.
Also, I'd love a TikTok about that, if you could.
About the fact that we just told you. If you could repeat it to people,
no, but
that'd be great.
I'll look into it.
Yeah, look into it. I feel like there's a lot of bleak things about the world. And is there any optimistic scientific findings that you found?
I mean, so many different things. Good news is incremental and slow, and so it doesn't feel like news. It's hard to sort of be like, this is a, but there are, there is a, antibiotic resistance is a big problem. It's a hard problem to solve because there's weird economics around it. Mm-hmm. And we haven't created many new antibiotics in the last 20 or 30 years.
Right.
And there's a new set of research where they basically were able to look at how some antibiotics might work, and then they just sort of used AI to plug in millions of different potential small molecule compounds to see if they would have an effect on the bacteria that are the problems.
Oh.
And they found, maybe a dozen candidate molecules, and then they just, bought those molecules from a place that synthesizes molecules, and they tested them out, and, they work.
Holy shit.
So, in that sense, AI is great.
That's a very different from generative AI.
Yeah,
how it works.
Creatively AI.
Yeah, this is machine learning.
This is stuff AI
and
could
also,
actually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, an AI taking jobs is that's scary, but lots of things take jobs, and we just have to make sure that we try and do it right and mm-hmm. share the wealth that is created in some way that mm-hmm. is fair, and also not use stuff that was you. We have to decide how we consider training AI. Do we say, if we're training an AI, is that that's just like a person reading a book, or is that using a thing? I think that it's more like using a piece of art to create more art, and so the person should at least be asked if their art should be used to train the AI.
Yeah, right.
And that goes for words as well.
Right.
That's a sort of a machine learning thing rather than generative
AI.
That's
cool.
But that's very cool. There's a lot of this isn't one thing, but if you look at the price of solar panels over the last 20 years or 50 years, a solar panel used to cost $50 million and they'd use them in satellites mm-hmm. and that's it. Now, the cost of renewable energy is wildly inexpensive and there's no sign that it's going to stop getting cheaper.
That's so great.
Oh, yeah.
And also batteries are getting really cheap really fast, and wind turbines are getting really cheap really fast. And the thing is that coal and natural gas can't get cheaper really. They're mature, and also you have to get the fuels out of the ground. Where you don't have to get fuel for solar panels. You don't have to get the fuel to the solar panel. The sun does that for us. So there's obviously lots of problems to solve, but still. But I went from being pretty sure that we weren't going to be able to solve the problem of climate change over the last 10 years to being it's going to be worse.
Uh-huh.
Life's going to get worse in a lot of ways. But the main thing we need to do is to get people who are on the edge away from the edge so that when the shock arrives, they don't fall off the edge. So, yeah. Exactly.
In California.
So no,
not physically on the edge.
But listen to me.
We need to go to Santa Monica.
We need to get them. We need to tell all the people who have mansions in Malibu, get your
Amanda's going to be on the Venice boardwalk tomorrow being get out of here.
There's a guy rollerblading. Sir, you need to get back to your car.
I mean, the Venice edge is very edgy.
No.
It's wild over there. I'm okay.
Rollerblading with electric guitar.
Montana to Venice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but I was in San Diego and someone's infinity pool.
Yeah.
Just in the ocean.
Look.
Well, now it's really an infinity pool.
You had to pay a fine.
Yeah, you had to pay a fine because
now it's the whole ocean.
It just
goes around and around the whole earth over and over again.
That joke killed.
Thanks, guys. I'm gonna go do stand up now. Got it. That's my one joke.
Hank has that.
Yeah, I'm gonna take that one and put it in my cancer stand up somehow.
anyways, here's a quick infinity pool joke. Then back to
I have to add this in for a buddy, Shane. Yeah.
this one's for you.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's just with any natural disaster or man-made disaster, the people who get hurt the most are the people who have the least, And this is why you see like an 8.0 earthquake in Japan and an 8.0 earthquake in Haiti have very different consequences, right?
Very. Yeah.
So,
huge.
So like the biggest work that I think should be being done is trying to get people further away from poverty, you know, and that's going to help so much with climate change, not just in helping them and helping the human consequence of climate change, but also people when they come out of poverty, they have fewer kids, they have they do consume more resources because like they should be able to consume more resources, but they also like we get much better at using land. So like land use gets more efficient. They are able, like people are able to have more resources to, you know, use tools so that they don't have to like use a piece of land for 5 years and then they can't replenish the soil with fertilizers. Right. And so they have to cut down more forest. There's all these like reasons why poverty is actually like one of the biggest both causes of climate change and things to worry about when climate change is going to start affecting humanity in like a really serious way, that like that's the thing that, and that's not really like a technological thing as except human. In as much as like culture is technological and we make the decisions, you know, we decide it in some way, and like it, a lot of this is implicit, and like we are of course products of our culture, but we decide where the resources get distributed, and they are not like they're very unequally distributed.
Do you think that's anywhere close to changing at all?
Yeah. I mean, kind of. It doesn't tend to be like there's a component of it that is decisions that get made by humans who decide to do philanthropy.
Right.
And like the, you know, we don't talk about it, but like the U.S. government does a lot of bad stuff, but also does a lot of development work and does a lot of, you know, human aid, especially during disaster circumstances. Mm-hmm. And also lots of other governments do that work too. But the, you know, there's also just kind of it seems like there is an economic curve that places have to go through, you know, and they have to start consuming more and they have to like their economies build. And then after they reach a certain point, and this is the wild thing that nobody really predicted, as an economy reaches a certain point, it starts to consume less per person. Like not just per like unit of economic output, but per person, like all of Europe. And like when do you think like the US is going to reach peak per capita carbon emissions?
Never.
Because it was 10 years ago.
Right. I think I did know that. Yeah. I sincerely think I did know that.
Shane wins this round.
I don't know what a lot of this stuff means, but I think I did know that. I have to let you know, I think I did know that.
I didn't know that. I mean, yeah. I've been very stressed about climate change, obviously, but I get really worried that the poverty situation is just, I just get worried that that's not.
And the internet's very,
it's very hard. It's very hard to solve. And like, it's, you know, but if you look over and like the last 4 years have been very weird with COVID and weird, like global restructuring as we responded to COVID. But the, you know, if you look over a fairly long period of time during any course, any period of the human history, poverty has improved. Mm-hmm. And certainly, and that's not to say that like, oh, we did it, you know, it's like, right. Like a trajectory is not a destination, but like the trajectory is there.
Well, I like what you said is like, good news is always going to come out a little bit slower. So it doesn't actually feel like news.
It doesn't even come out. Yeah. Cause it doesn't feel like news because like there wasn't like one thing that made solar panels cheaper. It's like every step of the way, little improvements here and there.
And now people are like, solar panels. It's just always a part of our lives.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how it works.
And then,
whereas bad news happens, like,
it's like, boom, everyone get down. Yeah. And you're like, what?
Yeah. You can see it in like the charts of like, in like economic growth charts. They're like, they like very slowly increase and then they drop and then they very slowly increase and then they drop. And so like shocks are shocks and growth is slow.
Do you know anything about any progress on something that I get concerned about? I'll get reminded of it every now and then is the Pacific trash.
Yeah.
A thing that there's just a bunch of trash and it's like the size of Texas or something out there.
Mm-hmm.
I care about that.
Yeah.
I get bummed about it.
Can you I don't know why I'm asking you to do...
Can you solve that for me real quick?
I don't know why I'm like an assistant being like, hey,
get that. What I can say, Shane, is I can say that like you don't have to be worried about everything because there are other people who are worried about things too. And I think that we get asked by our feeds sometimes to become for our job to be worried about every problem. Mm-hmm. But it's much, much better for you and the problems to be worried about
us like to pick something.
Yeah.
And to learn a lot about that, and then and to be like to be able to be somebody who can say, because I can't say about the Garbage Patch because I don't know, to be able to say like, here's what people are working on, here's what people are thinking about, here's what people are trying, here's what the big concern is. Like, is it? It's obviously bad for there to be plastic, but like, why and how are they trying to solve those individual problems?
Right.
I love
whether
that.
Whether it's an input, whether it's cleanup, mm-hmm. whether it's like, is there a period of time where if you like let that time pass, it kind of clears itself up. Like, there is an eventual period of time. I don't know if it's 10 million years or 10,000 right. or 1,000, but like, yeah.
Yeah, we're being served all those negative things every day to make us seem like we are superheroes, that we can solve it all. And it's like,
so like, you can't do anything. All you can do is feel like the world is ending and it's trash.
Exactly. Yeah. And people are like, oh, I'm on Instagram to like look at funny videos. And it's like, they're like, oh, I need a break. And it's like, I understand why. Because mm-hmm. we're getting served all of these things that are like, you need to look at it. And then we automatically think in our brain, like, you just unlocked something that I was like, oh, yeah. There is someone who is also very worried about this who is probably going to like
there
maybe...
are people working yeah. really hard on these problems. Like, I listen to this okay. podcast. Yeah. It's called Volts. That's just a climate change podcast. And it's like a really wonky, boring climate change podcast. And like, you listen to it and you're like, oh, so like the problem is power lines.
What?
Power lines?
And like, so like there's like authorities in states and the country that decide when and how you can build power lines, and the way that power is going to be produced in the future is going to be much more distributed rather than centralized locations of power plants. So you have to figure out how to get the power from the solar power plant to the grid, and so you have to have the approval to build the power lines, but they were built for a previous world, so no one works at these agencies, and they have like huge backlogs of like 4 years, and no one can build a solar power plant because there's like the people who build the power lines are too busy. And it's like, and so there's a bunch of people working on solving the problem of the busy people at the power plant or the power line authorities. And you're like, oh, so like this is complicated and people are working really hard on it right now.
Yeah.
That's somewhat relaxing.
I'm going to go.
It's also frustrating that the problem is power lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, all right, I guess my thing I'll worry about is power lines.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm choosing.
Which actually would be much better for the world because like no one's thinking about power lines right now.
Right.
Okay.
You're all thinking about the bigger things that are not the power lines.
Yeah, and that are easier to make an Instagram about.
Because that's not going to get clicks.
Better. Yeah.
I started a TikTok with that. Guys, I'm going to talk to you about power lines.
Yeah, do you want
moving on.
We need to talk about the grid.
See, that's why I love your TikTok, because that boring thing about power lines that the guy that you said,
yeah.
Volt, you said?
Volts.
Volts. It's like you watch it and you're like, I can't. And then your brain goes, I'll never understand this.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas like I watch your TikTok about these little science things and I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah. I've met the guy now who does Volts, and he's always like, wow, that TikTok you made, that's a summary of the 2 hour long podcast I did, sure did get a lot of views.
No.
Yeah, I worked really hard on that, man. Thank you for doing that.
And I'm like, that's why I support you.
Yeah, and that's why I Patreon. Like and subscribe and support you.
I feel like you've answered this for us, but because I was going to say, I feel like on your TikTok and several times on TikTok, I get served stuff that's like, this breakthrough in science that's either about to happen or just happened is crazy. And I think you had one where you're like, something big is about to happen in science. And I'm always like, what is it? I need to follow up and be like, where is it? What's the thing? Or it's explained, and I'm like, I don't understand.
I'm sure that's a big deal, I guess.
Yeah, I get it.
And so at this point, maybe you've mentioned the break.
Yeah.
Or
I think I know what you're talking about. It's probably the gravitational wave background news.
Which it's probably
you
that.
You got it, right?
When I say that.
There's a microwave background in all of the universe, right?
There is, but that's not what I'm talking about.
I knew that, though.
Did I get a microwave? Should I get a microwave?
It's different.
You're being microwaved all the time, but like a little.
Oh no. Am I metal?
You're a burrito. but a whole one?
Yeah.
Or...
yeah.
Okay, so it's just the microwave. It's just the microwave.
Yeah.
Thing.
I mean, basically the news was, so for the whole of history, since like Galileo, you know, we had one way of looking at the universe outside of Earth, which is optical telescopes. We look at light. And we look at visible light at first, but then we could also look at the visible light goes out both ways. into like infrared and the X-rays and gamma rays, all these, that's all just light. It's just different wavelengths. And that lets you see a ton of stuff. And looking at different wavelengths lets you see different stuff, and that's amazing. And so we've been mostly focused on finding ways to look at like more wavelengths in more directions. But this news was that we can look at a whole new thing that could let us see pieces of the galaxy that like we cannot see or that happened a long time ago. And that's to look at the stretching of space.
Okay.
So, whoa.
Like, space will contract and expand when like massive objects do certain things. But also there was a big stretching of space that occurred when the universe was created. And by looking at light, you can't see the beginning of the universe because there was like no like stuff then. So there's like a horizon you cannot see past. But if we can like start to filter out and like look at all these stretches and squeezes of space, we can, you know, right now what they're doing is like a bunch of stuff happens and it all overlaps and it creates like one weird curve. But if you can start to pull out the things that are making the different curves, then you can start to maybe look at stuff that we could never see before. But, and the way that we did this is absolutely wild, where we have a device on Earth that's just like a 2 kilometer long laser, and you can see the stretching and contracting of the laser. The way they did this is so they could get more resolution, they needed a bigger, longer laser. So instead of using lasers, they used pulsars, which are in our galaxy and have a very specific flash. They flash it at the same speed. But when they stretch a little bit, that flashing slows down or speeds up because it's moving away from us or toward us, like a Doppler effect kind of thing. And so instead of having this 2 kilometer long laser, we have now a galaxy-wide detector of pulsars that we can use to detect the stretching and squeezing of space.
What?
I fully understand what you just said.
So it was like a telescope the size
of the
galaxy.
You're like a 7-year-old kid, like, Dad?
Huh?
But honestly, that is amazing.
Yeah. And so, like, we've only started to look at to be able to time these pulsars for the last, like, 20 years or so. So as we get more data, like, it's literally you just have to, like, wait for more pulsar data to come in before we can.
Will that be in our lifetime?
Yeah, it'll be in your lifetime. But I got cancer recently.
Don't
that
say
is
that.
So messed.
Don't
come
say
on.
That. That's another stand-up bit. Add that to your.
You said that to me. I'm like,
bit.
I'm that much younger than you. What the hell?
In your lifetime, but I have cancer. Thanks, guys. That's my time.
See you later, guys.
I just gave you your button. Yeah.
Shit.
Well, I got a bunch of things that might happen to me now.
Wow. I feel like Hank Green just gave us our smart mouth.
Yeah, we do a segment sometimes, and it's funny when it's Amanda and I, a segment called Smart Mouth, where we try to say facts that the other person doesn't know.
Oh. Yeah.
But it'll be stuff like, what's the largest animal that's ever existed on Earth? You probably know that.
Well, it depends on what you mean.
Like largest...
as a vertebrate?
Yeah, like animal. Like not like...
As a vertebrate?
Yeah, let's go with vertebrate. Largest
animal.
Yeah, as a
vertebrate,
you mean the blue whale?
Yes, it was the blue whale.
The blue whale.
The blue whale. Yeah. Blue whale. Yeah. I knew that.
Yeah. But I feel like you've said so many things that we don't know that we're gonna throw it on you and be like, hey, can you say a fact that we don't know? But you could probably say anything.
Yeah, there's this thing called the lacrimal sac. It's where your
eyelashes. Oh my God.
Oh.
So I heard this guy saying that I have to get surgery and I have to get those eyelashes.
I have to get my
out.
Eyes removed when I'm 50.
No more brown rice and surgery.
Yeah.
Got it.
Holy shit. You've said so many profound things.
I have a good fact.
Okay, throw
this
it at us.
This is a cancer fact. Men are more likely to die of breast cancer than testicular cancer.
Okay, I did not know that.
What?
Isn't that wild? For two reasons. First, because testicular cancer is very, very treatable and curable. So, like, it's usually caught early. You can usually be cured just with surgery, and then you're done. Sometimes you also have to get chemo, but the chemo is very effective for testicular cancer. The second reason is that testicular cancer is a young person's disease, and young people can handle treatment much better, and a man who gets breast cancer is more likely to be in his 80s.
Wow.
So it's just like.
And does it spread quicker or?
It's mostly that it's like when you're in your 80s, it's a lot harder to control a cancer because it has a lot to do with sort of how the rest of your body is holding itself together well.
Wow. I never knew that. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Right. That was a really good smart mouth.
So we've learned even more.
Wow. Pete Green, you are so fascinating, and I am going to get both of your books before Shane.
No.
And finish them before
Shane. Okay, okay. Let's make this a contest. I'm going to read his books before you.
Hell yeah. What are you going to do at home?
Fine. Guys, follow Hank Green. When's your next stand-up show?
Oh, I'll be done by the time this comes out.
Okay. Well, dream about Hank Green.
But it will come out filmed and be on a place, but I can't say where yet.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll keep an eye out for it.
Well, thank you so, so much for joining us. That was amazing.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, Hank. Fun. This was fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, well. Thank you for watching.
Guys, follow Hank Green on TikTok because your mind will be blown.
But you also other places, though, because I don't know what's going to happen there. I think you look great.
Find the alt one. Oh, my.
I'm sorry. No,
so
thank you. You're not the
I don't want you to go home and be like, God, I really got to clean this neck.
No.
No, he does have
I don't know if
to.
You've seen our funerals. We've already said everything to each other.
He's fine. He looks pretty good.
What's going on?
Expected more calluses because you lift, right?
Okay. Thanks for the roast again.